The headline in the Weekend City Press says influential Afrikaners say they're going nowhere and they want to help fix South Africa. It was a pledge that was signed by a network of organizations and individuals from different sectors of the Afrikaner community, the academics, farmers, trade unionists, business people, writers, and lawyers. They say, and I quote, "Afrikaners are a well-organized community and would like to have the space and opportunity to contribute towards addressing the crises which South Africa is currently grappling with." That is the pledge released by the group, which calls itself the Afrikaner Leadership Network. Dr. Piet Krookamp is a senior lecturer of political studies at the University of the Northwest, also writes for the Vrye Weekblad. Your thoughts on this pledge? Simply just a recommittal to a democratic, inclusive project, as this week we note and celebrate 30 years of a democratic South Africa. Piet, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one must just be careful to think about the identity of this particular group. You will notice that they belong, by and large, to Solidarity AfriForum. It's a rather conservative group of people, and if you read the document that they've drawn up, it also corresponds, I think, largely with the views and the policies of the Freedom Front, for instance. I know that the DA also attended the signing at the Voortrekker Monument, but I think it's slightly to the call it conservative side of South African politics, and I don't see any what you would call progressive groups that has been involved. So I think it's a very specific document coming from a very specific group of people.
They're at pains to also note that they don't represent necessarily white racial interests, but broader Afrikaner ones. Let's say, do white Afrikaans-speaking South Africans still feel a level of marginalization that they would craft a document like this? Because I believe that if you are committed to a democratic project to help South Africa through a current developmental crisis, you would do so because you are a contributing South African, not necessarily a contributing white Afrikaans-speaking South African.
Yeah, well, that's the two ways you can go. I've spoken to some of the people in the group, and I said, if you want to organize yourself, first of all, make yourself indispensable as an identity that's important to you. But what they want to do is they seek an agreement with government. Ironically, with the ANC government, they seek an agreement that this process will be allowed to happen, and that they will. It's almost like they have the special privileged position they seek for themselves. And I honestly think that the constitution allows everybody in South Africa to be a South African. You don't have to announce yourself as a special South African. You don't have to recommit yourself to South Africa. All you have to do is just live within the constitution. And I think, like you have suggested, that there is a very obvious solution to their concerns in South Africa. They prefer to seek to. First of all, they also talk about special areas where they are a dominant culture, where they would like to have that call it privilege, but maybe you distort the argument if it is. But that they want that to be maintained. They want that to be accepted, that they live in certain communities and that they're a dominant culture. That they want their culture to be preserved there. My problem is that if you have your culture preserved in a particular area or in a particular town, or certainly Hartenbosch or wherever they are in the large majority of the Western Cape, if you allow your particular culture to be maintained, it must be at the expense of somebody else's political culture. In South Africa, you can live your political culture the way you want to, or your social culture the way you want to, but you cannot demand to be the dominant culture in that particular context or particular area. Like in Urania, for instance, one things to get the idea that they want more Urania's, which exist as a form of freedom of association without necessarily being called Urania. Listen, I don't want to be too skeptical about it. I know these people, and some of them are really, really good people, and they're interesting minds and everything, but I just don't think this thing is durable. Listen, I've been involved in meetings with the ANC as part of Afrikaner Group many, many years ago. The ANC had no commitment to this process. They do entertain you. You go to Luthulia's, you sit around, you drink tea. They promise you they will put up a desk for Afrikaners in Luthulia's. It never happens. I think this is just one of those things that in a year's time from now, we will not talk about it anymore.
Because the Afrikaans language is not at risk of dying out. There's plenty of resources and scope in traditional mainstream media where the Afrikaans language is thriving. In the terms of mother tongue speakers, it's the third most spoken language in South Africa, the majority of which are black South Africans. You still have many of the Afrikaans, white Afrikaans speaking community, very entrenched in the South African economy. So the role, the space, the scope, the cultural significance of Afrikaans, and should we say Afrikanerdom, still very much centered in South African life at the moment.
Yeah, I think there are signs that the Afrikaans schools are almost diminishing by the day. Every year, some of them close up, or they become the dual medium schools, or they become English schools under the pressure of outside of the Western Cape. The government is simply not building enough schools, and there's enormous pressure to change school or for Afrikaans schools to take in English speaking children. And the Bella Act, for instance, made some suggestion and alluded to that, the fact that Afrikaans is being used as a language of exclusion. So I think what they say is that you don't get Afrikaans universities anymore unless you make it, start your own private Afrikaans university like Academia, because South African universities are now all English. Schools, Afrikaans schools, there is a decline in Afrikaans schools. There is a sign that government seems to start to act in a way that put pressure on Afrikaans schools to not be Afrikaans, culturally Afrikaans schools anymore. I think there are signs of decline of certain spaces for Afrikaans, no doubt about that. But you always have the right to go private if you want to. You can start a private school if you want an Afrikaans school, a private university. The government don't tell you that you can't do that. But if in the space that's being shared by all South Africans, one has to accept that if you demand a particular language, it's very likely that you will exclude other people. I know, for instance, my children have been in Afrikaans schools in Gauteng, and all those schools are almost exclusively white and Afrikaans. But there are an area with the so-called colored area of Newlands. I'm not very far away from there. Sometimes they will send the bus around to go and pick up children in all the white areas, quite far, 20, 30 kilometers almost, from that school. But they will not drive to Newlands, that's just around the corner, to pick up colored children there, to also bring them to the school, Afrikaans-speaking colored children, because they seek to keep the school white and Afrikaans. So I understand the argument of language being used as a form of exclusion, and I understand their fear that if they don't use language as a form of exclusion, then it might put pressure on Afrikaans and the continued presence of Afrikaans in the education system. That's also true. Mm. But my answer to that is that if you want the Afrikaans school, build it. Don't expect the government to provide it or the rest of South Africa to provide it to you.
Dr. Piet Krook, I really appreciate your time. Senior lecturer at the University of the Northwest. 19 minutes past.